Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I hope you'll be able to join us here this evening. And if you got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we invite you to give us a call here tonight. You can call toll-free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. And also, I'll get into some of our other things here in just a minute, but let's go ahead and open our program here this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Bless the program. Use it for your glory tonight. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing to somebody, Lord. Help us to be able to point that person that's searching for Christ to you. Help us be able to encourage a believer that's in their walk with you, Lord. And we just pray that you'd use it for your glory tonight. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you here tonight. And, where to begin with this past week? Well, we'll dive in here at some point, I'm sure. But I do want to encourage people not to give up, not to be overcome, not to worry. Keep your faith in the Lord. And human governments come and go, but the Lord abideth forever. And we will continue to look to him for guidance and direction. Nevertheless, there are things that are happening, and we'll no doubt touch on some of those things tonight, and things that perhaps we as Christians ought to keep in mind when we see what's happening in the world around us. So I know we'll touch on some of those things here yet this evening, so I hope you'll stick with us here and even give us a call. Like I said, you can call toll-free 888-677-9673. I want to remind you of Pastor Al Davis of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. We certainly invite you to visit us if you go to our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find a number of things about us, including links to our homepage, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located in Richfield, Ohio, and that's at right where Interstate 77 and the Ohio Turnpike cross, 5171 Brecksville Road is where we meet. And I had an interesting thing that happened, speaking of that, on Yelp. If people remember with Yelp or are familiar with Yelp online, people find businesses and things like that. And about a month or two ago, I forget how long it was, I'm not somebody who goes on Yelp all the time, I had found that we were on Yelp, and I had known that, but I never really paid attention to it. But about a month or two ago, I happened to look at, up our church on Yelp, and I found that we had an unfavorable rating. I'm thinking, what in the world's going on? And I looked, and I had somebody who was accusing me of lying about our church. I thought, what in the world are they on about? They said, well, there were actually two people. One person, and Yelp had taken them off anyway, said, that's my house. Stop telling people you meet at my house. Get this off immediately. And I looked at them, and where they were from, it seemed like they were up in Cuyahoga County on Brecksville Road, probably a similar street number, because we're in Summit County, and in Summit County, the street numbers go up as you go north. So the further you go from Akron, the further north you go toward the county line, the Cuyahoga County line, the higher up the numbers go. And we're 5171. And it doesn't go much higher than that, because the Pilot truck stop next to us is the last place in Summit County before you go into Cuyahoga County. Well, likewise, in Cuyahoga County, the numbers going south on Brecksville Road go up in number. So apparently somewhere up in Brecksville, there must be, or Independence, there must be something with a number of 5171 or something. And they thought that we were telling people we met in their house. Well, okay, Yelp took care of that. That's fine. But then we had this other one who was accusing me of lying because there was no church in Richfield named Richfield Bible Baptist Church. Our church is in Brunswick. Well, there is an independent Baptist church in Brunswick, but it's called Southwest Baptist Church. And unlike us, they have a building. See, we don't have a building. We meet in the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. This church meets in a building. And they also have a Pastor Davis. No relation to me that I know of, except that we're both somewhat distantly related by common descent from Noah. His name's Greg Davis, and he pastors the Southwest Baptist Church in Brunswick in Medina County, located on, I believe it's Carpenter Road. And I'm Pastor Al Davis, and I pastor the Richfield Bible Baptist Church that meets in Richfield in Summit County on Brecksville Road at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. Now, you would think, well, that's confusing. That they must have just been confused. Well, you know, there is a link to our church website there. And as I pointed out to the Yelp people when I filed a challenge to this, and our website is clearly linked. There's also a little map there that shows where we meet. And I thought, well, obviously the person never went to our website, which clearly shows pictures of some of our things where we've met and some of our past events and all of that, and clearly explains that we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. Now, the Southwest Baptist Church in Brunswick, pastored by Greg Davis, a fine church. But I'm not Greg Davis, I'm Al Davis, and I pastor the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. I don't know why they couldn't figure that out, but it took almost 2 months sending things to Yelp, it seemed like, before we finally got that corrected. And so I was happy about a week or so ago they finally corrected that. It just one of those weird things. You know, I wish that was the only thing I had to worry about here in 2021, but this past week has been something else, hasn't it? And if you have been watching events that are taking place, we'll touch on some of those things, I'm sure, here today. But, you know, we just need to step back on occasion and remember God is in control, and we need to put our faith in Him and trust that He'll work things out according to His plan and His purpose. So hopefully we'll be able to talk about some of these things on the radio here tonight. Hopefully be a blessing and encouragement in some way as well. But let's go ahead and get into our program. Again, check us out online. I started to give that. I'm not sure if I gave it at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You'll also find some of our social media there. And I got the live stream going on Facebook and also on Parler, but I hear Amazon is about to kick Parler off from their servers. They rent servers, server space, however that works out Amazon does to Parler, which is a alternative to Twitter, and it's a good service. I encourage people to check it out, but it may be offline for a few days because, let's just say that the powers that be on the left don't like the fact that Parler does not face shame and ban and censor your posts like they do on Twitter and Facebook and things of that nature. And so they gave Parler an ultimatum. Think about the server farm, kind of like as explained it, somebody's asking, said, if you have an office building and you rent out office space, and one day you decide that somebody is renting office space from you, you don't like their business, you don't like what they're doing, or you just get mad at them, you think that you don't like the way they comb their hair, and so you just lock their office and kick them out. Well, they did give them a choice. They said, if you will go in and start censoring like sensible platforms like Twitter and Facebook do, then we might let you stay. Well, Parler said, no, that's not our model. Our model is free speech. And we are not going to go in and censor views that we disagree with. We're not going to go in and take it upon ourselves to correct things that we and force people to rephrase things, et cetera, like these other platforms do. And so they said, if you don't do it by midnight, Sunday night, we're going to boot you off our servers. So we'll see what happens at midnight if Parler goes down. But they are working, I understand, to build their own servers up and be back up and running. But prior to this, because of the mass exodus from Twitter, a lot of Christians, a lot of conservatives have been flocking to Parler. Now, Parler's not by any means the only one. It's a good alternative for Twitter. You can also go to Clout Hub, CloutHub, .com. And then, of course, for alternatives to Facebook, I can think of several there. There's MeWe, which is becoming very popular right now, MeWe.com, M-E-W-E.com. And then there's USA.life. That's just what it is, USA.life. And we've got a presence on all of those. There's also Gab.com. That's G-A-B, like, you know, gabbing. Have a gab fest. Gab.com. And so there's others that are sprouting up from time to time. In fact, there's another interesting one that is called, Zapit, X-A-P-I-T.com. Zapit, X-A-P-I-T.com. So I've just been experimenting with that one a little bit. And there's another one I haven't looked at too much yet. I'd hoped to do it today, but got busy with other things. Telegram.com, I think it is. Something like that for a messaging and different things. So, but I'm trying to reflect that on our homepage at livewithpastoral.com. Some of the social media that we're on and our church, of course, is on some of them as well. So check us out, livewithpastoral.com. You can also find past programs there, things of that nature, including if you don't get our Friday programs, we're on every Friday afternoon at 1:30 for half an hour. In the last several weeks, we've actually done some combination programs with Pastor John Lutz of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio. He precedes me on Friday afternoon with a program for the cause of Christ at 1 o'clock right here on AM 1220 The Word, and then we come on at 1:30. And we actually combined our two programs this past Friday. We talked extensively about the events of this past Wednesday and some things. We'll touch on some of that, I'm sure, tonight. But let's go ahead and we'll get into our callers here. Remember, the number is toll-free, 888-677-9673. We've got Nancy waiting online tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. I appreciate you taking my call. And I just wanted to say your Bible study Friday night, in my opinion, and I've been coming to your Bible studies for about 8 months, that was my very favorite one. You just reveal so much good information. It was a real great expose.
Well, we did get into a few things, and probably touch on some more of those tonight, but a lot of stuff that's happening in the world right now, especially right here in our own country, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's an understatement. And I really appreciate that little booklet that you gave me, Praying Effectively for the Lost.
Oh, yeah. You're one of our winners from back on our first program of the year on the first Sunday night program of the year. We had a little giveaway on some quizzes, and you were one of our winners. So I'm glad to be able to get that book to you.
Well, thank you very much. Now, I have a question about the very first sentence in the booklet. It says, no one can get saved unless a saved person prays for them. But isn't it possible that a lost person can see, like read a track, or somebody gives them a book that's easy to understand about salvation, that they can get saved without some specific person praying a person praying for that specific person? I was going to question you about that, but that's not even my main topic.
Yeah, well, let me just touch on that real quick, because actually our church went through this booklet as a study. And we spent a bit of time on this, and let me give you the quick answer to this. And let me read the statement. I actually have a copy of the book with me, as I have several in the bag that I carry. It says, the lost will not and indeed cannot be saved unless someone prays for them. And then let me give you the following book or sentence. It says, this is a shocking statement that sounds unbelievable until we view the biblical portrayal of the lost being, and here's examples, children of the devil, John 8:44, under the authority of Satan, Acts 26:18, a strong man's house, Mark 3:27, prisoners of war, Isaiah 14:17, and blinded to the gospel, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 through 4. And here's a short answer on that real quick. Mm-hmm. You asked about an unsaved person that picks up a booklet or a gospel tract or something. Nobody's directly praying for them. But I believe in those cases you will find, if you study or investigate, that perhaps somebody prayed that the person who reads that book or picks up that track, that God would touch their heart, or perhaps somewhere in that person's life, because I've experienced this myself, many people have, where I've talked about the gospel with somebody, and you see that person get saved, and you find out later on that somebody that you didn't even know, somebody perhaps that lived in another state or whatever, had been praying for a friend, a family member, or somebody that it was praying for them that somebody would bring the gospel to them and that God would open their heart. And this also touches on the problem that the Calvinists have. The Calvinists can't understand how an unsaved person that is blinded to the gospel, as 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 tell us, how that person can understand the Word of God, especially since the Bible says they're spiritually discerned and they don't have the Spirit. And that is because, well, the Calvinists, they rationalize it this way. They say God saves the person. Now they can understand and believe the gospel and call upon the Lord for salvation, even though they've just been saved. The Arminianist, on the other hand, says, you know, takes a passage in Hebrews chapter 6, I believe it is, where it talks about being enlightened by the Spirit, and they take that completely out of context and teach that it's talking about a saved person losing their salvation, but it's actually talking about what happens when we pray for unsaved people, whether we have direct contact with them or not. What happens is God opens the heart and opens the eyes spiritually of that person so they can see and understand the gospel. And then now that they're enlightened, they've tasted of the Spirit and they've tasted of the gospel and the power of the gospel, they can make a decision to accept it or not. And if they accept it, then of course they put their faith in Christ, and believing that Christ shed his blood on the cross and paid for their sins, was buried and rose again victorious over sin and death and all, you know, what's in the gospel there, and they get saved. Or they choose to reject it, and then they become the person who spit it out, and it's impossible for them to be saved if they reject what they know to be the truth. So that's the real short version of something that we probably spent an hour on before.
Oh, okay.
I think the lost do get saved because people pray for them. God honors a prayer. We just don't always see that somebody was praying somewhere along the line. That's part of the watering, okay. I think, of this.
So that makes sense. Yeah. Okay, now getting back to the events this past week, which we know they're numerous.
Uh-huh.
And the most exciting and discouraging, in my opinion, was when, Vice President Pence accepted the
certified them. Yeah, he opened them and they allowed them to be certified.
Yeah, and they allowed it. And do you think possibly
I'm sorry, you still there, Nancy?
Do you think?
I'm sorry, you cut out. You said, do you think possibly, and then I lost you.
Sorry, I actually touched my mute button.
Oh, okay.
Do you think that possibly, I know this is sort of conspiratorial, that perhaps Pence has been secretly a part of the deep state, or do you think maybe the Clinton Mafia or some other nefarious group threatened him, you know, like with a deadly gunshot wound to the back of the head, you know, suicide.
Yeah, committing suicide with a double shot in the back, yeah.
Yeah, or do you think he truly, truly thought this was the constitutional path to take? I just am very suspicious. And he knew how much President Trump wanted him to take the other road. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I can share some thoughts and some opinions, but I honestly, I do not know. And let me give you one way of looking at it. If you're familiar with the terminology white hat and black hat, the white hats being the good guys, black hats being the bad guys, some have tried to say, well, he was a black hat pretending to be a white hat, and so he showed his black hat nature when he did that. The other that I've actually seen is that, well, no, he was a white hat who, for the purposes of whatever, pretended to be a black hat when he's really a white hat. And then, of course, how far do you take that? Maybe he's a black hat pretending to be a white hat, pretending to be a black hat so that people will think he's a white hat. And you go down the rabbit hole and everything becomes possible. But there are some curious emails that in 2016, in Cleveland, Ohio, remember there was a little thing called a Republican National Convention?
Yes,
apparently, there's a number of emails, and I've seen some of them. I've not gone through all of them with a fine-tooth comb. But there's a series of emails. They're called the Pence-Ryan emails. You remember Speaker of the House, Ryan, Paul Ryan, who was the VP candidate with McCain, I believe it was? Well, apparently, him and Pence were going back and forth with the possibility of Pence running for president with Ryan being his VP, and they were, I don't want to get too far off into that, but when it became apparent that Trump was going to get the nomination, it switched where, and these are events leading up, that Pence would take the VP slot. Remember, at one point, they talked about putting General Flynn on the ticket as the vice president. And then they went with Pence. Now, a curious thing which goes to the black hat side of things for Pence is that deals were made and the Clintons were involved and this, that, and the other, but Pence was on the ticket in order to subtly rein in President Trump and also to keep Flynn off from the ticket because Flynn, because of his background in our nation's intelligence services, had a lot of information that the Clintons and the Obamas did not want getting out. And so there was a contrived a spat between Vice President Pence and General Flynn very shortly after the President Trump became president. And then there was the contrived FBI setup, and then Pence being pressured, and when they threatened to destroy his son legally, he copped a guilty plea in order to save his son. And then, of course, finally Sidney Powell got him exonerated, and now, and I believe that President Trump also gave him a pardon, so he's a free man, and now he's free to start speaking, and speaking he has been. And so some people believe that Pence was actually, especially after he betrayed the president, because some legal scholars said that he absolutely could decide which slate of electors to accept. And some said, no, he can't. And he decided to go with those that say that he can't. And apparently didn't. He kind of remained coy about it before finally doing it. He released a statement that morning, I believe it was, saying that he was going to allow them to make their objections, you know, the senators and the representatives, but he wasn't going to interfere. He wasn't going to accept or reject, reject certain slates of electors and all that. And he by many accounts, betrayed the president. And everything seemed to be coming down to that. Well, And then, of course, after they were done, they were interrupted for a few minutes, of course, and then when they finally got back, what was it, 3:30 in the morning or something, they wrapped things up, and the guy came up to him and gave him a Masonic handshake and passed him some kind of coin, which you can see in his hand, and Pelosi kind of elbows over a little bit and kind of looks on approvingly. So a lot of people are saying he must be a black hat. Well, it sure looks that way, but then, like I said, was he a white hat pretending to be a black hat to draw out the deep state people? And who knows? But Lord knows what the situation is in that area.
What do you think, Pastor Al? Do you think he's a white hat?
I would love to give him the benefit of the doubt because he's talked a lot about being a born-again Christian, but...
Oh, yeah.
I know what I saw, and it just didn't feel right what he did. So
right.
I became very disappointed in him when I saw that. I would not support him for president if he was running at this point.
Never.
Unless something comes out that shows that he was involved in kind of a double agent undercover sting operation, and then we can celebrate him as a hero, that great personal risk to his self and his reputation. Then I would feel that he's exonerated. But right now, he looks more like somebody said at church today, well, Vice President Iscariot, he got his coins, got his 30 pieces of silver. You know, Vice President Iscariot, get it? for those of you that didn't get it, that's Judas Iscariot that betrayed Christ for 30 pieces of silver. So I don't know, but... There are a lot of things going on, and I'll touch on some of that probably in the second half because we're running out of time here, but I did find it interesting. Here's something to consider, Nancy, and we didn't know this at Friday Night Bible Study, but as of at least yesterday, there's a number of large tractor-trailer-type trailers that are portable generator, black trailers that are, they're generators that are set up and down the mall outside of government buildings. Power generators. They're there now.
Mm-hmm.
And about 6,000 or 7,000 troops are stationed. You can see video, people driving around. You see them. They're standing not only on the street corners, but about every 100 feet or so down the sidewalk, up and down the mall. They're all over the place. Where are they from? Well, imagine I was out running some errands this afternoon after church and turned on an Akron station, and they carry an ABC News break, and the ABC News said that they activated 6,000 to 7,000 troops, and they're in D.C. now so that they can provide crowd control and security for the inauguration. And I looked at my wife and I said, the inauguration that's not until 10 days from now? And they're standing all up and down the streets in Washington, D.C., and they got power generators for the inauguration that's 10 days from now, and the inauguration that's been scaled back considerably where there's not supposed to be that many people there? Right.
You heard that on the mainstream media or on Parler or where?
It's been on Parler. It's been on ABC News. There's a number of sources for it. I don't have time to get into all of them right now. But ABC News explained it as they're there for crowd control and stuff for the inauguration, which is 10 days away on the 20th.
Right.
When do they put out troops on and have them walking on the streets? 10 days in advance.
It seems suspiciously to me that maybe Trump's going to declare martial law.
Well, he doesn't necessarily have to declare martial law. And some people have said they've already invoked the Insurrection Act, and he's acting on the emergency order that was given in 2018 that it enables him to do a number of things. And we don't have time before the music starts here for the break, but I've heard everything in the last 24 hours from Bill and Hillary Clinton are imprisoned in Gitmo right now, and Nancy Pelosi was arrested at the border trying to flee the border last night, Friday night, just before midnight, and that there's two prison barges anchored offshore in Gitmo to handle the expected influx that's going to come in as they start rounding up the deep state people. Well, will that happen? We're going to talk about it, but we've got a break, and we'll be right back. Don't go away. Stay tuned. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, toll-free 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we've still got Nancy on the line too to finish up a question we were talking about some of the events this past week here, we'll get to that in just a moment. But just want a reminder: check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you can find some links to some of our social media there. And we're still on Facebook. We get shadow banned a lot on there, and we get fact checkers checking frivolous things. I still think one of the most humorous ones was when I posted the thing about the Georgia election, where you could see that where they sent everybody out and kept some of the Democrat people in there, and then they pulled out ballots from below or from underneath the table and started running them through the machine. The article that I had posted said they took out suitcases of ballots, and the fact checker, of course, had to correct that and tell us that, no, we don't know that they were suitcases. Oh, and yeah, so they took out something, but whatever, they didn't argue with the fact they're running back. But I did have another good one, and this was almost humorous. except that there's some interesting thoughts with it, which we might jump off from. They're running face-checking recognition software on pictures of people that broke into the Capitol building on Wednesday. And, well, not everybody broke in. There were several cases where doors were open and the police actually held the doors and allowed them in. I mean, that's not just hearsay. You can see the videos of it. And there's other places where the police pulled back and you can see them motioning for people where to go and how to get in. But there was a lot of Antifa BLM infiltration into that initial crowd that came in there. In fact, by design, President Trump actually delayed addressing the crowd on the Ellipse to keep people from the Capitol building until they could get some things under control up there, because there were some things going on, and he spoke over the time for when he was supposed to be speaking. I have that from some people who were there on the ground, as well as some other reports that were online. There's an interesting character, and perhaps some of you have seen it, this guy with a painted face wearing kind of a vest thing and no shirt and some tattoos or painted designs on his stomach and chest, and wearing this weird helmet thing with buffalo horns or something sticking out the side, some kind of weird horns. And he was in the picture of some people that the article was talking about. Face recognition said that they were Antifa activists, and they were talking about somebody in the picture that was doing something. He was just standing in the background, and the infamous, illustrious, ever vigilant Facebook Farcebook fact checkers said, "Oh, the man with the horns wasn't Antifa. He was a QAnon operative." Well, whether he was a QAnon operative or not, and whether he was Antifa or not, though he has appeared in many Antifa and related type gatherings, you can find him online doing all kinds of weird things. He's described as a shaman and all kinds of stuff in some places online, wearing the same weird horned outfit and the face paint and the paint on his stomach and chest. He wasn't the feature or the focus of the picture. And they completely ignored the people who were the focus of the picture, and they went to some guy in the background. These people are jokes. And that's why a lot of people are leaving Facebook, because you have basically no recourse. You know, Facebook is the classic case of Big Brother is watching and Big Brother's not amused. That's why I've been going over to MeWe.com, USA.life, and things like that as alternatives, Gab.com, things like that as alternatives to Facebook. And so you go to our webpage, livewithpastoral.com, you can find some of those things. But and so we were talking about some of the events and everything. And Nancy, we were running out of time on the break. There was a couple other things you wanted to add with that.
I heard, I don't know if this is fake news or not, that perhaps that guy with a painted face and a weird helmet, that was Nancy Pelosi's son. Did you hear that? Did you hear that thought?
Well, I hadn't heard that he might be Nancy Pelosi's son, but, you know, I would not I would not put anything past it right now. Somebody did send me a video about this, and I'll have to watch it after the program. Just came through and see what's happening there. But in regards to that, but you know, here's some things that we have taken away from this. There were some Trump supporters that were there, and as I outlined on our Friday night Bible study, and I talked about it a bit on our combined radio program with Pastor Lutz on Friday as well. The attempt was to instigate a mass riot. And the thing that was particularly concerning to me, not only did we have the pallets of 2x4s and propane tanks that were around. And then there was the truck full of guns and explosives parked outside of the Capitol building. And we've seen this at other Antifa and BLM parties where they pre-position this stuff in advance. And then once they get the riot sparked and going, then somebody says, look over here. Here's some bricks. Oh, here's some whatever. And they have at it. One of the Antifa guys breaking in a window, you can see it on one of the videos, is using a brand new 2x4. Yeah, you just, anybody's been to Washington, D.C., you know, you find 2x4s just laying around any old place, don't you? Right. It's a brand new, it's clean, it's white, you know, it's not a, it's not one that's been out weathered in the elements. It's clean. A brand new piece of 2x4. And you can see it plainly. And there's other videos where patriots are saying, no, stop them. They're Antifa. Stop breaking the windows. No. And they actually pull them off from the windows where they're breaking them. So Antifa clearly was trying to start something, and they had help from people inside, because
that's surprising.
When the police pull back, and some of the police open doors and wave to the crowd and point this way over here, go this way to get in, and then with all the security. How come some guy who's later been shown to be an Antifa guy can stand in the house in the speakers at the speakers podium there and pose for pictures while a guy in a gallery above him, who obviously has an expensive camera, it looks like a media type camera, is above him taking portraits of him? You know, how do you do that when you're being chased by security? And so some of the Trump supporters that were in the area, they got caught up in the crowd. They went in. They shouldn't have went in. You know, when did you ever see an Antifa or BLM riot where they walked politely between the velvet ropes through the building? That's not what happened. I was going to say, that's not what happened when they broke into the Ohio State House last May. They went on a running rampage, destroying stuff and tearing things up and breaking into offices. These people are going through the part of the Capitol building in between the velvet ropes, looking like a big group of tourists going through. But there were other people who were trying to spark something because, see, they thought, just like when they've had, like back in June when they had Washington, D.C. was on fire and they were attacking the White House, Secret Service agents, some of them honestly were fearful that the White House was going to fall that night, and they were worried if their security plan would hold up because of the numbers that were coming after them and pictures of fires burning throughout the city. You didn't see any of that on Wednesday. But they wanted that to be the case. And one of the most heinous things that I witnessed on Wednesday was the plainclothes security guy, one of the guys in suits that had the guns. You could see them in some of the videos trying to defend some of the House members and Senate members. He puts his hand forward through the crowd. He's not waving at his gun around like he's in a panic, like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And taking a wild shot. His hand comes through into the picture. You see his hand carefully taking aim as this woman, 14-year Air Force veteran. I was an Air Force veteran myself, but still, she shouldn't have been there. She appears to have been an innocent, so far as I've been able to see. But he targeted her. He waited until he had a clear shot to hit her. Now, I don't believe that he targeted her because of who she was, but rather what she was. She was an unarmed female Trump supporter. And I believe the shot was designed to initiate violence because they assumed that a number of the Trump supporters that by this time were now in the Capitol building Some of them, despite the laws in Washington, D.C., were probably armed. And as soon as he shot her, you can see the video, it's graphic. He shoots, he takes aim, he waits for his shot, he shoots, she falls back, she's covered in blood, shot in the throat, she's basically bleeding out on the floor. Some of the Capitol Hill police surround her and try to render at least a little bit of aid, and you hear the call go out, shots fired, shots fired. I think, this is my opinion, this is not the opinion of the radio station or my church, this is my personal opinion, I think the goal, they thought that some of the Trump supporters would say, look what they just did, and they'd pull out a gun and start firing back, and then it would have been on.
Oh.
And they would have had a full-blown gunfight, blood spilt in the Capitol building, and this they would have used to destroy Trump, to destroy his legacy, to destroy his followers, and it would have sparked the riots that would have burst out all over Washington, D.C. with the people outside, and then you would have had the Antifa people and the BLM people outside go, oh, look, here's some propane tanks. Oh, look, here's some more guns. Oh, look, here's some explosives. Just like has happened in many BLM and Antifa riots, where they go, oh, look, and they give it to people who are already predisposed to riot. Best meme that I saw was a picture of a bunch of the Trump supporters on the Capitol steps saying, you know, the Republicans can't even get a riot correct. Nobody got their free televisions.
Mm-hmm.
Let that sink in for a minute.
a lot of really very misfortunate things happened. And so many people deserted Trump after this happened, like it's his fault. I mean, it's so bizarre how they twist the news. Anything they can think, any way they can do it, they twist everything around backwards to make Trump look bad.
Oh, absolutely.
So many of his so-called followers and leaders, they resigned, and I feel like it's Trump's fault, which absolutely was not.
Yeah, and let me interrupt here a second, Nancy, for time's sake, because I've got Terry waiting on the line, too. But I was going to say, part of this, and we've talked about the Great Reset on the program, and we've talked about our Friday night Bible study. The biggest opposition to the Great Reset, as far as the world is concerned, those who are pushing for it, and they want to continue with their plans this year. They want to institute it this year. Trump and America and his followers are the big opposition. Now, understanding the Bible, we know from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, it's not Trump and America and his followers. It's the Spirit of God that's actively hindering the mystery of iniquity and preventing the Antichrist from coming to power. That's what's hindering. Now, he works through his people, and many of his people are Trump supporters and Trump followers. So he's working through us to restrain the devil's plans, and they need to get rid of Trump. And this is why the head of ABC News, I believe it was, said, we have to cleanse the movement, meaning the followers, because he said there's 75 million that have to be cleansed. And all I can think to myself is the night of the long knives when Hitler decided they needed to cleanse Germany from opposition to his plans. Well, what do you know? But all is not lost as yet, and this is why I believe they need to get him out of office, why they're trying to invoke the 25th Amendment, why they're trying to fast-track impeach and then get the Senate to vote to remove him, why they're pressuring him to resign immediately, and that's because they're afraid that he'll invoke the Insurrection Act, which may be in play right now, and his executive orders, and they may start rounding up some of these people, and people might start being arrested, and people might start facing military tribunals. People might start going to jail. I don't know that that's going to happen, but let me just encourage people to go online. There's some interesting things, but the Nye County Central Committee, Nye County, Nevada, chairman released a letter about this. And this is a major Republican party in the state of Nevada, one of the states in question with all the fraudulent manipulation of the vote. And he lists in this letter seven things to watch for. And let me just touch on them briefly, and I'll have to get to Terry, bring Terry in as well. But he listed seven things to watch for. And if these things start to happen, then I think I'm going to believe that there is something to this stuff about President Trump being in Cheyenne Mountain, going over Hillary Clinton's emails and the Hunter Biden laptop and the Nancy Pelosi and maybe as many as 15 other laptops that were picked up by some people who also infiltrated the group going into the Capitol building on Wednesday, and that they're going through these things. But here's the things that he said to watch for. He says, so what comes next? I don't have particulars, but I can give you milestones to watch for as the coming days unfold. And what we're talking about here is in the next few days, because if this is going to take place, it has to take place before January 20th. Well, last I looked, that's 10 days count. That's like 10 days. Today's the 10th. 10 days is the 20th. Here, number one, expect the emergency broadcast system to be activated. That's because Trump is being cut off from traditional platforms and media. And interestingly enough, Apple is doing a reboot, which many people are saying is going to prevent the emergency broadcast from being realized on Apple iPhones. There's things that you can do to prevent the reboot if you have an iPhone. Go online and find out some of that. Number two, expect confusion. We're in a battle for our republic against elites that are attempting the very coup that they're accusing Trump of doing. I'm just simplifying or glossing through this real quick, cutting some things out. Number three, expect high-profile arrests to take place over the next 12 days and at any time. You may wake up one morning to find someone in high office is no longer there. Well, woke up this morning, read a thing. Guy says, I woke up this morning and saw that the Pope was arrested. The Vatican was blacked out last night. There's story, and it's in other press other than just Parler and things here online, that the Vatican blackout is real. That took place last night. And the story goes, the Pope was arrested in the wee hours of the morning. And he's being charged. I don't know that to be 100% true, but that's a high-profile arrest when we woke up in the morning. Number four, expect this to be a bumpy ride. This is not a television show where things are resolved in 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. Number five, expect more bombshell evidence to be released between now and January 20th. Well, apparently there was a big release of all the WikiLeaks files. And part of the story is that a military jet came from England and landed out in Colorado and brought Julian Assange, who was hiding out in the one embassy there, and he's now out in England or in Colorado as well, and has been providing information. And included in the leak, in the WikiLeaks, is all the Hillary emails as well as a bunch of stuff on the coronavirus plans and how they were going to use it to accomplish their goals and expand a virus that has a less than 1% mortality rate into making people think it's worse than the Black Plague. Let's see. Number six, expect some sort of internet blackout or outage. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gmail likely to be affected. Parler is supposed to go offline tonight at midnight. Number seven, expect Trump to be inaugurated on January 20th. Well, that'll set up a lot of unrest on the streets. And then number eight, expect the executive order from 2018 and/or the Insurrection Act to be enacted. So not necessarily in that order. Well, I mean, it went a little longer than that than what I intended, but some things to think about. You can find this online. I've got on some of my social media, but it's the Nye County Central Committee, Nye County, Nevada, a letter from the chairman. But Nancy, let me let you go so I can get to Terry before we run out of time, okay? So, but anyway, thanks, Nancy. I appreciate the call tonight. Terry, thank you for waiting. Sorry to keep you going until the last minute here.
Okay, but, it's all very interesting stuff that you had to talk about.
Hey, I do have a question for you, because one of the things that I read is that in Quebec, there's an order, a curfew, where people have to be off the streets now from, what is it, 8 in the evening until 6 in the morning or something like that?
Yes, and in Ontario, too, possibly.
In Ontario? And now, is this just a new thing?
Yeah, it's just new. It's going to be new if they go ahead with it here in Ontario. I didn't know about Quebec, but
yeah, the thing I saw was in Quebec
since December 26th.
Yeah, and well, you know, think about this.
Except for essential things.
Yeah,
but everything else has been shut down.
Yeah, well, think about this. You know, in the American Revolution in the 1700s, do you know where they met to plan the events and everything? They met in churches and taverns. And what are these shutdowns telling people they can't do? Go out to churches and restaurants and bars and things like that where people assemble. And what do? They talk, don't they?
Yep.
You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Because God knows that when we get together, we talk, we share information, we build each other up. In fact, he talks about provoking one another unto love and good works in the same passage. So it sounds like they're trying to do everything they can using the coronavirus as their excuse to keep people apart so that people don't compare notes. I mean, yeah, we talk on the radio like we're doing now. People talk on the phone. People go to Zoom meetings. But I went to a meeting Saturday morning in Medina. And, you know, after the meeting on a Zoom meeting, everybody clicks off, right? You know, everybody's gone. But after the meeting there, we stood around for an hour talking to this person, talking to that person, sharing information, talking with people that were in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday. You know, you're sharing information. You're doing something you can't do on a Zoom meeting. And they know that. They don't want people assembling because there is a plan in effect to bring in a global government.
Yeah, it's going to work out that way. I think so.
Right.
I was going to say, no pun intended, I was going to say Mike Pence for Democratic president next time.
Well, that's interesting. He might have competition for us other people, too. But, hey.
Democrats like him now.
Hopefully we won't be waking up to a Harris president. I'm sorry, Biden president. Well, it will be a Harris president. Even Biden said it's going to be a Harris-Biden presidency at one point.
They want Trump because they don't want him running the next time,
too. Yeah. Hey, well, Terry, we're out of time. You stay safe up there in Canada. We'll try to do the same here in the States and all of our listeners out there. Stay safe. Keep an eye out. Watch for things. It'd be a good thing to have food and water on hand in your house. You could stay in there for a week if you had to. But most of all, look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and Savior. I hope he's yours too. Thanks for listening. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com.